What an emotional day we have in front of us, because on one end of it, our boy Dougie Ford absolutely ripped our hearts out at noon, like the stooge that he is. And on the other spectrum, it's Al's brother's birthday today, Gail's son.
Gail's son.
And the third element is I have a Miami Vice vibe today, and I am feeling good.
I didn't even see that until
You look like Don Johnson back in the day in Miami.
He's Miami bound right now.
That's what it is. You just stole the show.
I have to walk out right now. Listen, Doug Ford can take my golf clubs, my tennis racket, my kids' soccer. He cannot kill seersucker season. Can't kill
it.
Can't do it. And it's positive Thursday. I'm not going to allow it to drag me down.
Yeah.
You dress good. You look good. You feel good. You perform good. And that's the plan this afternoon. And I have to add a couple things. Okay. Shout out to Al's brother. Happy birthday to Al's brother. I'm hoping a little charcuterie in bed this morning for Al's brother.
They probably just cleaned out the toilet from on the weekend. And now they got to go back at it again.
Dude, what would be on the breakfast charcuterie
in the morning for Al's brother's birthday?
A sizzler, one of those pans
sausages
that are just chucked full of sausages and eggs and home fries.
Who's the guy who does this? The
Salt Bae.
Salt Bae delivered him like a giant piece of beef and just drizzled it in salt right there.
I love
it. To me,
a little charcuterie in bed this morning for Al's brother. So shout out to him. It's also James Duthie's birthday today. So it's Duthie's birthday. He's coming up later this afternoon.
People would be shocked about how old that guy is. He's 55 years old.
I agree. Like, I thought, I'll be honest, full disclosure, I think it was you or both of our little group texts. I thought Al's brother was like 35 years old. I didn't know. He just turned what? What's the number?
I have no idea how old. Let me guess.
Yeah, hold on. You guess how old Al's brother
is. If I were to guess, I'd say he's 32 years old.
Right.
I'd say Al's brother is 32 years old.
He's 27 years old.
He's 27.
Al's brother is 27.
Shout out, man. He's ahead of the game. Al's brother's in a good spot. I love it. I love hearing that he's 27, and we're big fans. I don't know if he's in the studio or not today. He's probably not because, you know, it's a birthday and all that kind of stuff. But, oh, we do have Al's brother around. Okay, we'll bring him in just a moment. But I have to conclude this three-pack.
Okay.
And I have to be honest here. It's the most important one of them all. It is also my wife's birthday today.
Wow.
Yes, so happy birthday to my beautiful wife. So I got to make sure I get that in.
That's why you're all dolled up, because you want a nice like dinner, but you're throwing something on the barbecue or you takeout.
We're going to order in tonight. We got a bottle of white on ice. And
Jimmy Crow, Sauv Blanc, ready to rock.
And I need it more than ever tonight. I cannot wait to just relax, get the kids to sleep, hang out in the backyard, because we're still allowed to do that. Luckily, thank you, Doug, for allowing me to hang out in my backyard.
This golf thing, like, if you're gonna pull that one, just don't patronize us. Like, don't try to make us look stupid. And your reasoning is I've got buddies and they go for pops after golf. Imagine Hayes, like, just imagine, like, that's what the premier of this province said. Because guys get in their cars and they go for pops. First of all, it's a redonkulous comment. It's absolutely ridiculous. People follow protocols and they drive to the course themselves and they go home.
He knows.
It's an idiotic comment. It's an idiotic comment.
Imagine
having a smart friend from out of the country. Imagine having a smart friend from out of the country and sitting in your living room having to watch that dummy say that. Come on. That's ridiculous.
There's a couple of things I'll say before we start moving on here. There's politics at play, clearly. Like, they're both of these. Because the guy in Ottawa is no better with One Dose Summer, you know, as if we're supposed to be happy about
he's
that.
We're all supposed
to be clapping. Thank you, Justin. One Dose Summer, as if that's going to get our lives back on track. That's as equally patronizing and insulting to Canadians. But if you're in Ontario, it's on the premier to allow us to do stuff, I guess. Yeah. You know, I can't believe we live in a world where this is what we're doing, pleading for some liberties and some freedoms. There's got to be a balance here where we all, I can only speak for myself. I understand the healthcare system has to be the priority. The vulnerable has to be the priority, but we've been doing that for 14 months, and I think we're moving in the right direction. But allowing people to get outside and play sports, and to your point, like the first question, they open it up, the first question is, can you explain this a little bit further in detail from a scientific standpoint? Well, Gary picks up Rick, and then, you know, they have a couple of pops.
Keith gets in.
Keith gets in there, and then there's Wendell and Daryl, and all of a sudden all the boys are, you know.
Having
can you imagine
pops.
If you've never had a sip of alcohol in your life, and you're like, wait a minute, let me clarify this. I can't play golf because Doug Ford lives in a frat house where his buddies get gooned every time they play, so the rest of the province is not allowed to do anything.
It's idiotic. Go ahead and say something, but don't say that. And make
no, it's patronizing. Like, yeah, it's what it was. But it's also predictable. We knew it was coming.
Yeah, people are disappointed. There's no way and no rhyme about it. Like I say, I know people say follow the science, all of that stuff. I think, honestly, and I feel for everyone who golfs, I feel for everyone, including myself. My kids are going to be in soccer this summer, too. It just sucks, but we can't beat a dead horse. Like, it's just the most frustrating thing in the world. We got to find a way to battle through. It starts with the coat. It starts with Al's brother's age.
Go.
It starts with, you know, there was a Leaf game last night, even though I thought they were just trying to, they were wearing the seersucker,
you know,
just to get through the game.
They had
and that's
it was seersucker season for them in Ottawa
too.
Last night.
I don't want anybody going to Winnipeg. Nobody. Just send
the
AHL
team. Though. Didn't you read
Sheldon's
comments?
Game.
Like, we have to send them. They got no room on the cap.
Yep.
They have no cap flexibility to which is, it's, you know, get through the game. I think Winnipeg's going to be the same way. Nothing to see here. Let's just, you know, dump it in, dump it out, see if we can get a couple goals here or there on the power play. Like, I was glad that, honestly, I just, it seemed like everyone made it through the game unscathed.
That's all that matters. I don't blame them at all for having that mentality. I have that mentality. I'm not playing. We're right. All in the same spot. I was thinking about it earlier today. Because we used to reference this all the time. We've been doing the show for a long time, and a lot of the shows were under the cloak of darkness. Let's call it that. You know,
right.
Tanking, Salute Gate, Horacek, Phil and the boys. You know, there was a lot of dark times where we're like, I can't believe how bad this is. And more often than not, over the past decade, this point in the season, they were done. So you're thinking, okay, lottery team, are they going to win the lottery? What are they going to do with free agency? What do they do with the draft? Does anyone go to the Worlds? Or they're in, but they're scrapping away. They're fighting. They're trying to prove that they're good enough to be up with the big boys. And we used to say this all the time. I wonder what Chicago Blackhawk radio would be like in 2013. Well, you're in it right now. Without the Cups. I'm not saying they've won the Cups because Chicago had by that time. The point being is, this is what you get when you get a really good team. Matthews hit 40, check. They finished first overall, check. We know who they're playing in the first round, check. The end of the regular season is largely pointless, and it gets to a point where you're like, I don't even care what happens. If they lost 15-0 last night, I wouldn't change my attitude.
No.
I don't care. I don't care what happens tomorrow. The only thing that matters is health. That's it. Get out of there healthy. Sheldon Keefe alluded to the same thing postgame last night. He's not showing them tape. He's not going to yell and scream. He knows. They
right.
don't care about the game tomorrow night. You still have to play it. Of course you got to play it. And Winnipeg's got to play it. But just get through it, man. Get through it. And I really believe by early next week, the mood is going to change. The excitement's going to boil over. It's going to be like a volcano, man. And it's going to erupt by next Thursday. We know when they're mm-hmm. playing. Game one, Thursday night. Next Thursday, a week tonight, it is go time, Leafs Habs. So it's simply a routine. It's a
right.
formality. It's a contractual obligation. You had to play last night. You got to play tomorrow night. That's what it is. But
yeah.
it's a positive.
And flip-flop the
thing.
Lines. Flip-flop the lines. Third and fourth line, you guys are playing 22 minutes tonight. And you other guys, you're playing 10.
Absolutely.
So
enjoy
that. One thing they can do, though, is maybe come up with something a little bit different on the power play. Because I'll tell you what, if that nonsense keeps up, that's the Doug Ford speeches of power plays right now. It's terrible. And they got one last night.
Yeah, I mean.
Then they got one last night, but if they don't get it together with the big boys, it's going to end up costing them a game and maybe a series.
Special teams is a big part of it.
It is so hard. I had two series against the New Jersey Devils, and they don't give you anything 5-on-5. And that's what teams are going to try to do against this team, Brian. It's going to say check them into the ground and see if they can manufacture goals and don't let their power play crush you. But their power play has got to be potent because not many opportunities are going to be coming 5-on-5. And if those big guys keep going out there and doing what they're doing, I honestly can't even break it down. They don't get set up. They're missing passes. It's terrible, and they better fix it or it'll cost them.
Well, you're right. And special teams are going to be so key in the playoffs. The only thing I would say is I kept thinking to myself, we've had some coaches on recently, Tippett, DeBoer, you know, we had Coop on earlier in the season. And, you know, is there anything left up the sleeve? Because I just keep thinking that, like, you know, everyone's watching each other, right? So, like, Edmonton, they've got a couple moves on the power play that I haven't seen them do in a long time. And I keep thinking to myself, I wonder if they're not doing it because they don't want to, like, pre-scout. Like, that's gotten out of their game. Like, one, I can describe it. I'll try the best. But where Draisaitl has his back towards McDavid, and he pops it to him on the backhand in the slot, in the bumper position, he turns and fires it to the net. The Leafs tried it a few times this year. I haven't seen many teams doing that. My point being is that, are you keeping things close to your vest here down the stretch? Are you going to try something different in the playoffs when everyone has been pre-scouted to death and you've played that team 9, 10 times? Like, that's the only thing I can think of. And all it comes back to, you're right, entries are important. You know, execution is important. But there has to be something else that they might want to look or roll out, because teams are already expecting, okay, it's going to go here. Matthews is going to spin up by the blue line. And if a three-man attack, go out of the net and see.
Yeah,
it, you know?
I think there's some reasoning behind that.
Maybe, I don't know.
I could see it being a thought process, but it's been going on for about 25 games.
You're right.
Dude, it's not just a little thing I'm making up. We're not talking about it for the good of our health.
No.
It's nonsense. It's the Doug Ford speeches of power plays right now, and they got to fix it.
Yeah, and maybe they have something up their sleeve, Noodles, to that. I don't know how drastic you can get.
Yeah,
You're not going to – I don't know what you can come up with either that is going to shock the hockey world. That's the amazing thing about the sport and how overly critiqued it is and analyzed it is, and there's tape out there on everything that's ever possibly happened in the game. So, right. And are you comfortable trusting your guys to perform it properly during the biggest moments? I don't know.
Right.
But something does have to give. I mean, their power play, this is becoming a real – it's been an issue for a while. You know, it doesn't matter in terms of the standings, but it can matter small details over the course of a long run. Everything's got to connect, right? Like, and that's ultimately the goal here is you're the last team standing. Whenever you're the last team standing, it's because you've got quality goaltending, you stayed healthy, got a couple lucky breaks, special teams worked out for you. You know, like there's certain things that happen basically every single year. Every team that gets there at the end, you're like, okay, this was good, that worked, this didn't, that didn't. And it's not going to surprise anyone. You know, the winning formula, so to speak.
Sorry to interrupt, Brian. Did I read something last night? Like Muzzin scoring, was that the third power play goal by a defenseman this year? Correct?
I did not see that stat, but that rings pretty true.
That's something that would ring very true to me.
I mean, based on what I've been witnessing all year.
They're not pulling a guy out of the stands that has a threatening shot from the point. Muzzin probably has the best shot from the point. So that's not
changing. But how about establish that? Like, that's the thing. Like, you know what? It's not about a slap shot. It's get it down to the front of the net. Like, you know, to me, if you know that there's going to be no shot from the point, you probably defend differently too. Like, that's probably, I'm sure, come across their desk as well. I read that stat last night that Muzzin's goal was the third power play goal by a defenseman this season for the Leafs. Whereas, you know, Edmonton's got the number one power play, and I think Nurse and Barry have a boatload. I don't have it in front of me, you know, where they at least establish a shot.
Well, and that's not going to change. I don't see it
getting
to a point where they – because what they've become – accustomed to doing. I mean, their game plan is clear. Get it in, set it up, get it to Matthews or Marner. You know, on either side of the ice. You know, that's essentially what their game plan is. And Riley does not have a slap shot. He's not capable of taking a one-timer. It's actually somewhat shocking. He's been in the league this long. He's never established a one-timer. He doesn't do it. He doesn't have the ability to do it. So that comes out of it. Muzzin, you know, it's a bit surprising that Muzzin's even in the position he's in.
Right.
But I think part of that is a safety valve for Keith. He does probably have the ability to unload a shot that others don't on the back end. But the power play is something that's got to be figured out. And I don't know how they're going to do that outside of, you know, the levee breaking somehow.
The shocking right. part about it is if you go to a practice, these guys work on this and they're like clockwork, running their routes, making passes, going through shooting options, dispersing the puck to all the different options. It's just, it's impressive to watch them practice it. Anyone that goes to their practices watches it. It's like, yeah, these guys aren't just talented. They work at this. This is like a, and it is a big deal. And then it goes into a game and it's, and you can tell they're thinking about it, and all of a sudden 10-foot passes are becoming a problem. I don't know. You look at William Nylander. Austin Matthews is the shooter. He's the guy that's very dangerous that can score from anywhere. And the way that William Nylander can handle the puck, and Mitch Marner and John Tavares around the net, like 10 feet around the net in a circle, is one of the best players in the NHL as far as quick hands, quick little plays, getting out under the bar.
Yep.
Like, that's his go-to.
That's where he scores. That's
exactly.
His bread and butter.
So you would think between those five guys, all what they offer there, like whether it be Mitch Marner on the goal line, William Nylander on the half wall, they got to come up with some plays. They're too good, right. And it's on them to figure it out. Not Manny on the bench. It's up to them to figure it out. Or else there's got to be some feelings hurt where it's like, you're actually not going out there right now because I can't watch it anymore.
Well, confidence is a big thing, too. You get one, and all
it
of a sudden,
is, but
you
Jamie,
know,
how long can you wait? If they keep doing it, you got to tap somebody and say, actually, we got to just get somebody else.
You're right, but the one thing that I think going into these playoffs that people, like, I don't know how you felt, though, but, like, it's a fresh start. Like, their power play is at zero. You know, they're 0-for-0 going into the playoffs. Like, they're
not.
But
I don't
go...
think they've been approaching games saying, "Wow, I'll just save it for the playoffs, fellas."
I understand that. I'm not like
you're talking
I'm not
about
defending
confidence
them.
And
I'm
and
just
coming
saying,
alive.
Like, you score in the first period of the first game on the power play, things might look different. You might feel better about, you know, finally we're executing what we're trying to do. I'm not defending whatever it is, whatever they've done, 5-for-60
well, the
or
stats
whatever.
Are what they
crazy
are,
stat.
Yes.
The stats are what they are. But what I'm saying is. You know, to your point, oh, they're a talented group. They have a plan in place. The start of the season, it was working when things were a little looser. Things are tighter now. Now, you know, you've got to find a way around that. And that's just not the Maple Leafs. That's going to be Colorado. That's going to be everyone. Like, the pre-scouting that's going on right now in these war rooms is insane. Insane what's
well,
going on.
Freddie Anderson, you know, I wouldn't say it was a ringing endorsement from Sheldon Keefe after the game, but he said he got through it, and ultimately that's what it was. You know, it was, can you get through a whole game? And he did. And the schedule comes out today, and they're going back-to-back game 3 and 4 in Montreal.
Perfect. Perfect.
You like it? I hate a back-to-back in the playoffs.
No,
why have a back-to-back in the playoffs?
Do you know why? Because what we do for a living, we could chew on it, and they're going right back at it that night. I love it. I love a back-to-back. The first time I saw it was actually when the Rangers did it. The Rangers back in the day against Philadelphia, it was like 94 or something. I was like, playoffs back-to-back? But obviously last year they had to do it a lot, but I love it. You chew on it. You go right back at it and see what happens. Is there a response? Is there a continuation? I love a back-to-back, Daisy.
It's weird. I've done it several times. Like the infamous where Ray and I were with the Islanders and the Rangers just rinsed us. That was there was some back-to-backs in there, and thank God there were. Well,
yourself.
It would have extended. Like
there's a time crunch here too. Like they got to get this thing wrapped.
Well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, I remember back in 2013. Game 6 and Game 7 were back-to-back when the Leafs were up 4-1 in Boston on the Monday night. It was Game 6 was at Sunday night at the ACC, and the next night they were in Boston. And that was because there was a lockout year, shortened year. I believe that was the only series that went 7. So they were like, we got to get cracking here. And this is probably a result of the Canadian division starting later than the American series, which – you know, I get, and there's, you know, TV components to it, and it's a weird year and all that. Maybe travel too, maybe COVID-related in a way, like get in, do your thing, get back to Toronto for Game 5. But I like the tradition, which it's not always the case, as you guys have referenced, but every other night for 2 months, you know, every other night there's a game, but it opens up the door for, you know, depending on what the series is at, you know, initially people are like, okay, what does this mean for the goaltending position? Do you play the starter game three and game four? Is a backup going to go in there?
No.
I would play the starter personally.
I say you play the same lineup and you go like, I mean, if things go according to plan there, like I think you're just running with the guy you're running with. Like, and, you know, it's going to probably be different. Montreal might have a different mindset because Allen's played a lot and, you know, Price's health, all of that type of stuff. But if Jack Campbell is playing well, like, I think it's a back-to-back scenario. We saw it in the bubble, too. We saw it in the bubble. There was back-to-back games. To O's point, they were trying to just get through a lot of these games. The guys were just sitting around waiting to play.
This is not travel. Like, they're both in Montreal.
Exactly.
Coming back to Toronto.
Right. There's no travel. There's no border. You know, they aren't going for dinner and hanging out. They're just going back to the hotel, eating, getting their hydration, probably
icing.
Maybe
they can tee it on an off day in Montreal.
That's interesting. You're right. Potentially they could. They are allowed to do that in Quebec. Yeah. So maybe that's a possibility. But we'll discuss that throughout the afternoon. James Duthie's coming up. It's his birthday today. Al's brother is in the studio, so we'll catch up with him later in the hour. It's his birthday as well. It's my wife's birthday. I have to mention that now every single time
we bring up birthdays.
What's that?
Aaron's sister. If it's Al's brother's birthday, it's Aaron's sister's birthday.
Right, that's right. Yes, I guess you're right. Aaron's sister's birthday today and this evening. So more to come. Duthie will join us. PJ Carlesimo coming up. The Raptors are in action tonight somewhat. It's like a Raptors 905 mashup with the Raps as they're waiting to get this over with. Lose tonight, lose on the weekend. See you later. We'll move on with our lives. And the Jays game is wrapped up. They ended up winning 8-4 this afternoon. That is a sweep of Atlanta. That is a season sweep of the Braves. They are 6-0 against Atlanta, and now they're 4 games above 500. They're only a game back of the Sox. The Jays are red hot. The bats have come alive. So we'll touch on that, the significance of where they're at. Lots of games on the road as well. So they're heading home, I believe, for a 10-game homestand. Jays are in a really good spot. They're feeling good, man. So we'll get into that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, it's a big show this afternoon. It's a birthday show, really. Al's brother's birthday, a little charcuterie in bed this morning. We'll find out what was on the menu.
Sizzler. It was a sizzler.
Yeah, I think some fruit. I mean, Al's brother, he loves watermelon. We'll find out. We'll see what's up with the birthday boy. And James Duthie, it's his birthday today as well, and he's going to call in just a moment. I'm surprised he would accept the invitation, but at the same time, he's got nothing better to do.
You know that the announcement today was garbage when Duthie chimes in. Because he doesn't really like to ruffle, and he's pissed. Like, he gets his golf in the mornings, in the afternoons with his buddies up in Aurora.
Both of them. Listen, I had a plan to tee it with him next week. We were going to go tee it up.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
That's funny. I never met that text chain. That was interesting.
I don't know what your wing is at, dude. You have to come off the IR.
The idea of asking was not even out there. It's
the cap ramifications. That's what it was.
That's right.
Couldn't bring you off the IR yet right now. So it's Duthie and Hayes, I guess.
You got a monster deal. You got a monster deal. You need to announce it to the world when you're swinging again. Maybe this is in your best interest. Maybe June 2nd, look at you. You'll be right out there feeling like $1 million.
Yeah.
But until you announce that your shoulder is back at 100%, I'm assuming you're on the IR, and I don't think I'm alone in that.
Okay.
Is that acceptable? Is that offside? What do you make of that?
How about if you're making arrangements moving forward, you get me involved?
Okay, you'll be included. Here he is, the birthday boy himself. Shocking he would accept this invitation.
Yeah. 55 years old today.
Oh, happy
James
birthday.
Duthie. Happy birthday, James.
I just want to know, would you have retweeted that thing if it didn't say my age? Was it really a birthday wish or just let's get it out how old this jerk is?
Are you 55?
I lie. I'm one of those guys. I do the opposite of most people. I lie up. I'm 42, but I lie up to make myself sound more mature.
I like that.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, I'm 45. Mm-hmm. You look younger than me. And you're 10 years older than
you. You look younger than Al's brother, too.
I've had a lot of work. You guys all know that. Been a lot of work
done.
You
dye your hair chestnut brown.
Look, once again, anytime on the show, $1 billion, bring in a hair genetic expert. Never. Never.
Wow.
done.
That's got great content written all over it. We will take you up.
That would be
that.
Awesome. I'm sure your ratings.
Jimmy, what did you make of the speech? We're going to call it the speech, the dumb speech.
Okay. Well, a couple of things, and I'll try not to go on too long a rant. But
no, go ahead.
If he had just said, I know science says outdoor activities are safe, but I don't care. I want to shut everything down to make sure we end this thing. I could have accepted that. I'd probably be upset because I want to golf like everybody else or people who want to play tennis, but he's the premier. That's his call. But it's the explanations throughout this thing to me that destroy credibility, not just what he said today, but, you know, I've been following this in the news twice in Robert Benzie articles over the past week. There was quoted a source close to the premier. I don't know who that is. And one of the quotes was, golfers are only a small percentage of the population, so we're not listening to them. Something along those lines, I'm paraphrasing. And the second quote, I believe, yesterday was, no way we are opening golf before schools. And my direct interpretation of those quotes is, A, we don't feel we'll suffer politically enough for us to care about golf. And B, the other one is, this is pure optics. They're worried about looking bad by opening golf courses before schools when they are absolute and complete apples and oranges and have nothing to do with one another.
And they know schools are done for the year. No one's going back to school this year.
And the other thing with today, and I don't know if you guys have talked about it already, but this whole POPs thing is just, it's mind-boggling to me. You've thrown all Ontario golfers into your misguided interpretation of reality. I can't speak for everyone. I only can speak for my own golf experience. And again, if you're talking about last summer, yes, we were allowed. You guys and I golfed together. Believe, you know, socially distanced on patios, you were allowed to have a beer afterwards. But the only context is this year, when there were regulations where you got to the course, you had to sit in your car until whatever 20 minutes before your tee time, depending on the course. You played golf, you got in your car and went home. And where are you going for pops? There's no bars open anyway. So the guys that are going to go for pops, they're going to go for pops whether golf is open or not. They're going to sit in some guy's backyard or garage and break the rules. And to loop everyone into that, is that's your reasoning for banning it. I wish he just said, look, I'm doing it. I don't care what you say, and don't give a ridiculous explanation. And if I can say just one more thing, and this is more a rant of context. I'm sure you guys have heard, from those on social media or wherever who say you spoiled golfers. This is all you can complain about. We're in a pandemic. Some variation of that. And I think it needs to be said that the context of our complaints, whether it be golfers or tennis players or parents, whatever, of course golf is weighed down the list of important things. Of course, if we step back and think about the entire 16 months, we're angry about the lives lost and the way seniors and homes were treated and the businesses lost and, the critical year and a half of proper schooling and socialization for kids. But outdoor activities is here and now, and it's something that would be an easy fix. And also, we're sports commentators talking to mostly sports fans. So it's okay to be angry about no golf or tennis or whatever your outdoor passion is, because these things matter to you. So I don't like the idea of shaming people for being angry about these things. They are important to people. Mental health matters. And we fully understand that no golf is not the biggest aspect of this crisis. But that doesn't make these decisions any less asinine or confounding. There you go. Sorry, Randall.
Yeah, no, that, I think that's very appropriately said, put. And furthermore, someone sent me a text earlier. They're like, okay, let's say if Doug and the boys carpool and pops for golf, why is, like, basketball closed? Mm-hmm. Why is tennis closed? Like, is it carpool and pops for throwing a ball at the park? I don't think so. So there's just so many cracks in the armor. Mm-hmm. It immediately disintegrates into what we're dealing with here. But listen, it is what it is now. You know,
it is what it is. And look, I'm almost glad in a way that there's a date now.
But I'm not convinced that's the date. We've been doing this long enough, James. This couple more weeks, hashtag couple more weeks. We've been doing it for 14 months.
No, I know, but look, we all just want to get through this, but it's extremely frustrating, and I hope that we people vote next time they vote, whoever they want to vote for. That's
ultimately going to be, I guess, a part of the plan on every level of government in the future. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
That's
what
right. Participate
there.
In the elections, people.
Yes, there you go. Hashtag participate in the elections. What do you make of the jagged scheduling here, where the American side of the Stanley Cup playoff bracket will get started as of this weekend or early next week, and the Canadian mm-hmm. side has to wait for Vancouver and Calgary?
Well, I like it in the sense that it's weird, but I'm glad they're doing it that way, because I think we all want to get on with this thing, and that probably includes the players and everybody else. So as strange as it is, you know, and basketball's done this for ages. I'm not sure they do it anymore, but I can remember for many years there, you'd have, you know, NBA, some team in game 5 or game 7 of the first round, depending on what it was back then, and the other team would be in game 3 of round 2. Right, that happened all the time in the NBA. So I think it's a smarter thing just to get the season over with as quickly as possible. I know that I got a note today. I'm sure you guys did. Our playoff preview show, I think, is Monday at 4:30 after how many days of playoffs? Was the first game Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday night, yeah. Boston, Washington.
So you got some games Sunday, and then we're doing a play. So we'll be doing our very first playoff preview that involves series already being on, which will be kind of more interesting when we do predictions, if people are going to lean towards the teams that are up 1-0 or whatever. But I'm okay with it. Like I said, it's weird, and it's weird that regular season games will be going and still, but let's just do whatever we can to get this thing over at a reasonable time, July 10th or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I understood the reasoning behind you've got to finish off the division, Calgary-Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm getting to a point where I'm changing my mind like 48 hours later. I'm like, why? Like, those games are totally irrelevant. They have no bearing on the Leafs, the Habs, the Oilers, or the Jets. Like, I know the reasoning is the TV network, I believe, and TV obligations and all that. I get it to an extent. But why can the Leafs and Habs not start on Monday, Edmonton, Winnipeg not start on Sunday or Tuesday? You know, mm-hmm. like that. Those games are completely irrelevant to anything, and mm-hmm. it just I don't like. Originally, I kind of knew it was coming, and maybe that's how I reasoned with it. Now that I put more thought into it.
When you were asking me that previous question, were you saying, you know, as to why they were waiting to Wednesday for the for
well?
The Leafs?
I mean, just your initial opinion right. of things. Yeah, I mean, and I've concluded now. I'm like, I don't understand. Why can't we just get going now?
Yeah,
well,
right.
You know,
it's not offensive.
No, like, forget right. Vancouver and Calgary. Sorry, it sucks. Like, you guys got to play it out. But the rest of the country doesn't care anymore anyway.
No, I would agree with you on that. I would agree with you on that, Brian. And the other thing is, and you're right on the TV deals, and that's why they have to do it. But, boy, if I were the players on those teams, too, I'd be like, let's just pack it in and get out of here, particularly Vancouver and the run they've had. And you know, if somebody, again, if Quinn Hughes or something, knock on wood everywhere, you know, was to tear an ACL or something in one of these last games, that would be a shame, and they would have a legitimate beef. So it's a bit of a crock that they're playing, but I guess historically, too, not just beyond TV rights, they want to have everybody playing the same amount of games, but it is a little weird and silly.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
James, we were talking yesterday about the Canadians versus the Leafs and just how people our age are just like, wow, they're playing each other. It's so historic. They haven't played since the 70s and just the history of it. Do you think these kind of millennial kids think anything of it, or are they just playing Montreal in a playoff series?
I think you're probably right. I don't think there's probably a lot to it, particularly maybe there'd be more again, with the fans. And this still really bothers me, that it's happening this way. I mean, just 1979 is, we've lived our entire lives and not seen this series. And then we see it in this. And I think it's one of the great shames of these playoffs, and I'm trying to get over it. And I'm sure once they drop the puck in game one, I will get over it. But it really bothers me that we're not going to have a full building in Toronto and a full building in Montreal and all the usual Habs versus Leafs stuff. It's such a shame, but I think you're right. So you add those two things together, no fans, and the fact that most of the kids have no clue, beyond the fact that it's Toronto and Montreal, and they've probably seen some, cool montages and teases that we've run. That's I don't. I think it's just another. It's nothing to them, but another series.
Yeah,
this is too bad.
Yeah. Well, and also you're not going to be able to fully experience it, right? Like you're not going to be witnessing Toronto at the same level, Montreal at the level it's known to be, and the stands are not going to be packed. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure what right. the reaction will be once they get to the end of it, either.
This entire first round has. I mean, I have to look back, but I just feel like over the last decade or 15 years, if you were to take this in a normal year, this is one of the great first rounds we've had in a long time. You know, obviously it wouldn't happen normally in divisions, but to have two all-Canadian mashups, to have Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Toronto, Montreal, to have the Battle of Florida, there's about to have Chara, you know, playing against the Bruins when right. none of us ever thought he would not be in a Bruins uniform. There is five or six ridiculously good matchups in these playoffs, and like I said, I just feel it's all a little lower case because of the situation we're in.
Yeah, you're right. Like, you know, there's still, I mean, Vegas and Colorado, I mean, trying to sort stuff out, but like, I think there's going to be some great matchups south of the border. Obviously, they're going to start earlier, which is a bit weird when you were talking about, Brian. Like, it's, you know, we're waiting for the Leafs and them next Thursday. Like, you know, one of these teams could be up 2-0.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like,
2-3 that night.
Game three that night, and you're like, well, Boston or, you know, Washington's really, like, it is a bit weird, but I'm excited about it. Like, James, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but we were on air, but Rod Smith, I thought, took a shot at Hayes. I don't know if you heard about this. Did you? Because he was talking about, we were talking about it, you know, we weren't alive, or I was a young kid in 79. When they last met, Rod was like, Hayes, I was around. I remember it. So I'd like.
I saw the video afterwards, and it was tongue in cheek. To my boy Rod wouldn't do that to me. Wouldn't bury me on SportsCenter like that.
It was brilliant.
I mean, what do you want me to do? I wasn't born in 79. I mean, I'm just stating a fact.
You're right. My point is I think these young kids still understand the magnitude of the history of these organizations head-to-head. Yeah, they didn't live it, mm-hmm. but they've lived it every day of their lives where somebody's a Habs fan or a Leaf fan, and those fan bases don't like each other.
And the
anyway.
Coaches know it, right? Like Sheldon Keefe knows it. Dominique Ducharme knows it.
You know, their parents are telling them, or their coaches are telling them, or usually, and you guys would know, all three of you would know better than me, that there's somebody in the dressing room. You know, Winnipeg's got a guy like Scheifele, who's a hockey historian, and there's usually one guy or a couple of guys in every room, right, that would be saying, giving some context to what it means.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, did you like that, Hayes?
Yes, I did. I did.
You.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So what are the birthday plans for you, Duffy?
Oh, they're massive. They involve, let's see, before I got in line with you, I was chipping with my son in the backyard.
Nice.
And I guess there's some dinner. There's some dinner happening, some big dinner plans they haven't told me about, which probably involve, like, normally eating dinner.
Somebody's
saying happy birthday because there's nothing else going on. There'll be a dog walk. That'll be the highlight, probably.
Okay.
There you go. It's going to get crazy in here. We're going to have some pops.
Yes, have some pops tonight and kick back and relax. And everyone can, I think, use some of those positive birthday vibes. So
oh, there's some insider trading, too. A little insider trading coming up before the birthday festivities begin. There you go.
All right, man. Good luck with that. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, boys. Take it easy.
There he is, James Duffy from TSN Hockey. Insider trading coming up tonight. And, playoffs begin on the weekend south of the border. And Edmonton-Winnipeg will start next Wednesday. So that Calgary-Vancouver game goes early afternoon. And then I want to say, is it a 9 o'clock start? 8 or 9 o'clock start Eastern time. We're going to have Canadian content, playoff hockey as of Wednesday. So we're less than a week away from that.
And, exactly. Fired up.
Yeah, let's get rocking here. I think we're all looking forward to it.
Positive Thursday here. We're going to get out of this. We're getting
moving
out of
on.
This here.
I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm not going to – not complaining anymore. No one wants to hear us complain about it.
Exactly.
So that's it. Although I know we're not alone. I think a lot of people, regardless of what you're into, what you do, what you want, people are frustrated.
Think about the grit grinders, Hazy. What Doug Ford's done for the grit grinders. Because Doug Ford has now officially got every marshal going to do the bouncer shakedown of everyone's golf bag every time, and you know what goes in that golf bag.
Yeah, those industrial-sized golf bags that have a 48-pack of
Coors Light in there. Are there booze bags that bring that much on the course?
Oh, dude, man, there's golf bags that are disguised as coolers. You just unzip one giant zipper, and it's a fridge.
I got to hear this. Like, we got to have, like, I want to hear about a guy you've golfed with and what he's brought to the course with him in his bag.
Okay. We'll come back with that. No problem. Off the top of my head, I can't name the one guy, though.
No, not naming names.
No, no names. Not naming.
Just like what you've laid eyes on at 9:30 on a Tuesday morning. You know what I mean?
I played golf with a guy that looked Dave Poole and straight in the face at 7:10 a.m. and said, "Would you like a cold beer?" I looked at him. I said, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Oh, he was like, "No thanks."
I know. I don't understand that. Like, I'm not a big drinker on the course. I'll have a couple of beers happily, but I also will go, you know, 15 rounds straight without even thinking about having a beer.
Right.
But yeah, you get drinks cooking in the morning. Cigar guy is a big part of the rotation.
I know.
And then there's weed guy too. Where
weed vape guy?
Weed vape guy is.
You golf stoned?
Oh,
I played golf with a guy, full-blown, whole joint. I don't know anything about joints. Whole joint to himself, first fairway, par 5.
Yeah.
And it would be crushed by the green.
I've experienced that many times. I've got buddies who are they're convinced they're better at golf.
Oh, I love that line. I can't play without it, they say.
Yeah, just I'm not going to be able to put it together. I won't be able to collect today unless I smoke the largest joint you've ever seen down the first fairway.
Getting their levels
that's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then they always offer it up. They're like, "You want some?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's what I'm looking for right now. It's 7:45 in the morning.
No.
I need to be stoned right now playing golf at a really nice course. I couldn't
that's
imagine
awesome.
Something I'd want to do less.
No.
But thank you for the offer. I appreciate it. And good luck with the rest of the game. I can't wait to see if you put it together here. So we'll come back with more details on that. Rays coming up. The Jays with a big win again this afternoon. They sweep the Braves. That's 6-0 against Atlanta this year.
Love
and they're
it.
Four games above .500. They're rocking. Your boy Chicken Strips, 9 Ks today. Look good. They're getting some starting pitching all of a sudden. It's starting to work for them, okay? Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Rays coming up in about 10 minutes. Our buddy PJ Carlissimo will join us later this afternoon on coaching a team that's tanking, because that's what the Raptors are doing. They're not playing anybody tonight. And they're just trying to get through. They got a couple more games, get out of Dodge, leave Tampa, see you later. And we'll catch up with him. The Knicks have officially clinched. First time since 2013, the New York Knicks are on their way back to the playoffs. And, you know, good for the Knicks, good for New York.
Dude, it's massive, man. You think about people that, free agents that have just passed on them because they've been a joke.
Wouldn't it be great if they played Brooklyn and beat Brooklyn? And, like, Durant and Kyrie Irving, the offer was on the table to go to New York, play for the Knicks, the bigger team in the city.
Right.
And everyone was like, you know, the Knicks have been a joke for a long time. They still have Dolan as an owner. They're in the playoffs. It doesn't mean they're going to win a title. They're not. They still have a lot to build towards and get better at. But full credit to them, Thibodeau has been unbelievable this year. And that's still it's a Knick town. You know, like, the Nets are not touching the Knicks. And if they could knock out the Nets at some point, that'd be an incredible story. Like the Knicks reclaiming New York, and thanks for coming out, KD. Thanks for coming out, Kyrie. Everyone hates
not
the
happening.
Brooklyn Nets.
Except
for you. Except for you. I wouldn't put money on it happening either. I think Brooklyn eventually, now that James Harden's back. And
dude, I don't see many challenges. Milwaukee as a challenge, but I think them comfortably winning.
You think
they
got
to defend?
They just skate through. You think
they got to? They got to play defense. Like defensively, they're so bad. And I know the history of the NBA for teams of that talent level. You know, you flip the switch and it's go time, and it's time to work this thing out.
I don't see much resistance. I'll just say that.
I'm not sure I do either, but I do think Milwaukee is battle tested. Man, they're quiet. Like they were on pace for 70 wins last year. And they've had their playoff issues, and Giannis eventually gets shut down, and that's been his storyline. But they got Jrue Holiday there. They've added pieces, you know, like Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, Giannis with depth. Milwaukee's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think they're pretty good. Philly has had a very good year during the regular season. So I'm not going to put anything past them. But
and don't forget that team we mentioned yesterday as the most disrespected team, Utah.
The Utah Jazz.
That's true. Nobody cares about them.
But they're in the West. No one's paying attention to them. But shout out to the Knicks. They're going back for the first time in 7 years. Wow. So and the Garden will be rocking at some point. If they can get through the first round, you know, even in the first round, I'm sure they'll have 4,000 or 5,000 people in the seats.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're far away from – like down in the States, it kind of feels like – like today there was a big announcement. Basically, if you're double-dose vaccinated, you're living again.
Yeah, you know, you're back at it.
You're back.
I was told by a buddy who lives in L.A., said the target is July 1st, open for business, 100% everybody.
Across the board, across the country.
Because the vaccines are so accessible, it's just whether you choose to take them or not.
Right.
But that's it. Like they're open for business.
Yep.
That's
a smart play. Like if you choose not to have it, okay, that's fine. But we're not waiting for you anymore.
Right.
You know, like it's time to move on here. Yep. Hour two coming up. Ray Ferraro will join us on the Leaf game last night. What he saw out of Freddie Anderson. The schedule's out for Leafs Habs. They start next Thursday. We'll get to that more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.